Blog Talk Radio.
Now we're actually live. Welcome to Weed Day Wednesday, everybody.
Hello.
The lovely Lady Luck is with us tonight.
So. Nice. Thank you for having me. I'd love to stop by.
Thanks for being here. Always a pleasure. Everyone, hit up the lottos when you're done. Lady Luck's here. She's going to throw out some really good luck tonight.
And to bring all good things green and lucky for the holidays.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Even passed a little green here myself.
Yeah.
Hey, Weed Day Wednesday. You don't even have any notes to go by. So I'm going to read some stuff. You can make some stuff up as we go. And we'll just have a good night. Tonight's all about news. And welcome to Weed Day Wednesday, if you don't know, Tucson, Arizona's number one online radio podcast about all things medical cannabis. Your host, normally, well, maybe not normal, Bell Star and the Cannabis Kid. Cannabis Kid is on a little vacation tonight.
I know.
He's in New Mexico. I know. Lame. He's enjoying dinner right now.
Oh, that's
Merry Christmas, kid and family.
We miss you.
Yeah. But we usually have interviews. Tonight's a little different. And strain reviews, product reviews, news and information about anything and everything medical, cannabis related, in Tucson, Arizona, and the world at large.
Love that part.
I'm not so sure how large it is because everywhere I go, I run into somebody I know.
Whether I know, it's like, isn't that the way?
You go to Oregon or go to Europe and you say, hey!
I ran into someone I knew at Disneyland of all places. It's like, really?
There you go.
I mean,
well, that
and
that's fun.
It's fun.
And that's fun. But how random, right?
Yeah.
If you want to call and talk about your cannabis randomness
there
tonight,
you go. I like that.
Or any Weed Day Wednesday, give a call to 646-915-8421. You can email thctucson@gmail.com. And you can actually go to tumbleweedshealthcenter.com, and there's a little link to the radio show right there. Blog in, type it up, chat with us, ask your questions. It is a whole a whole heap of fun. We're going to make up all sorts of noises tonight.
Yeah, so anything random you guys have, call us in.
Yeah. So, anyway, for those of you, we had a little request earlier for a description of what the heck Tumbleweeds Health Center really is all about. Well, you know, we want you to come down here and meet the owners, Kim and Dana Ray, and meet all the wonderful volunteers. But when you go down there to Tumbleweeds Health Center, or 5301 East Broadway Boulevard, just west of Craycroft, they are inside the Broadway Plaza. It's called Little White Health Center with little dental office there, and H&R Block.
Go get Troy your University done. Used to be here.
Used to be, yeah. Yep. And Target is right next door. Mm-hmm. Target. Get a soda, come on over. So when you come in, certifications right now, we're actually adding on doctors, so we're going to do Monday through Friday certifications at the beginning of the year, which is going to be lovely.
That's nice and convenient.
Walk-in certifications. So you come in, meet with any number of incredible doctors here, and you bring your current medical records with your diagnosis of whatever ailment the state is approving you to get your medical marijuana card. And you can come in, fill out a little paperwork, and sit down and relax on either one of their cozy leather couches. There's a library here of incredible information. Anything from law to cooking to Bob Marley to fibromyalgia, cancer, HIV, AIDS, and cannabis. The marijuana logs are here if you want to laugh. They've got a lot of great DVDs. They even have VHS tapes. Yep, reel to reel. And for the kids that don't know what that is, you really have to come in. You really do. Yeah, I know, they do.
I know, I can see
top shelf. And they've actually gone out for rent here a little bit.
That's cool.
It's a lending library, much like in the old days. We stamp your card, check it out for a week, you bring it back. If you don't, we know where you live. They come by. It's a beautiful health center. Organic coffee, water, tea. I think the water's organic. I'm pretty sure it is. Filtered. It's filtered anyway. It's from...
No, the water's not organic.
We're trying to bring it from the Mead Glacier. We're working on it, though.
Yeah, we got some glacier melts going on here. You can come in. They've got a little general store with all sorts of accessories, from vaporizers to books to smoking accessories. Let's see, as I look in the cabinet there, there's flags you can buy, wave the cannabis banners, t-shirts, pipes, screens, bongs.
So this really isn't about medication.
It's about all of it.
About education is what you're telling me.
Well, you get a lot of that when you're here.
That
they
is
do
awesome.
Have limited meducation hours, they call it.
Mm-hmm.
Classes every Friday and Saturday. There's a class this Friday. I believe it's HIV/AIDS and cannabis. Nurse Mary D is going to have a chat every Friday about all the ailments that the state of Arizona is approving. So this is our third week. Excellent chat.
So if I'm a patient,
and Saturday we're having a basic law class, basic safety class. What happens if you get pulled over? What we know, what we can share with you, the stories that we've heard, and maybe some Mr. Dean snippets from a show we did with him a while ago where he answered a lot of legal questions for people, some really good ones too.
So if I'm a patient and I want to come in here and listen to one of the talks or take one of the classes, can I medicate while I'm here? Are there people sitting around medicating? What's
no,
going on with that?
There are not. Arizona has a zero tolerance law. So Tumbleweeds Health Center is top priority is safety, and we really don't allow people to medicate while they're here because you don't know what they've done if they'd medicated before they got here. But we want everybody to be safe and go out in the world clear-headed, and then you can go home and use your medicine.
That's a good plan. I like that. Okay.
Yep. Not good to drive like that, folks. Not even really good to have it in your vehicular. Not good.
Yeah.
Not good. But if you do, we'll chat about that Saturday. Come down. We'll talk about ways to be discreet with your medicine and to be nice to the legal people because it doesn't help. To argue.
Yeah, it's not going to pay to argue with those
Don't
people.
Do it. Don't argue and get thrown in jail because you're not going to get a chance to say anything more there. Just keep your mouth shut, get your day, get your lawyer, and get going. So anyway, lots going on at Tumbleweeds. It's a beautiful, beautiful place to come and spend time and network. You can meet other patients. You can talk to the doctors, you can talk to the owners, you can talk to some incredible volunteers who are very well-versed and experienced in lots of things cannabis. So come down. They've got certifications, like I said, Monday through Friday, classes, lectures, demonstrations, medication, and all things education related to medical cannabis. TumbleweedsHealthCenter.com.
Sounds like a great place to be.
It's a great place.
It's comfortable, it's beautiful. From what I know about it, sounds wonderful.
Yeah, and it's not just about medicine.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I think everybody
Although
needs
that's everyone's
medication.
Goal.
Yeah.
To get their meds, and that's what they do provide that as well. However, education is key, and people need that. So tonight, speaking of education, tonight is just about that. We are hoping someone calls in. We are going to chat with people online, and we're going to just hang out and talk about pop. How's that? So we've got some patients here that just said, that's my favorite topic. All right. And let's see here. We've got lots of things on our agenda. We've got a song to play, the Mary Jane Outlaw Blues. We've got two song weekly article to read. And as always, we have Hempathy. We've got some etiquette. We've got the High Times Pot Smokers Activity Book. And since today's Wednesday, Miss Lady Luck is excited about this book. She found something really super fun, and we're just going to start off with explain the book a little bit, what
well,
it is.
This book is High Times Pot Smokers Activity Book. And on the front, there's a picture of a nice little water pipe maze and all sorts of fun little puzzles. And so there's a section.
Keep your mind active, folks.
Keep your mind active because I'm going to tell you all about the parties you should be throwing. So there's a section for each day of the week and how you should theme your party. Given that today is Wednesday, we're going to go with Weeper Wednesday, they call it. The theme is, just like our radio show, it's the middle of the week and there's the end in sight. Friday's on the horizon, and knowing this puts you in a good mood, maybe you're even feeling a little wacky. Welcome to Weeper Wednesday. The perfect night to get silly with all your friends at home, playing classic party games like charades, board games including this very book.
Heck yeah.
And we have the book for it. We're
excited.
There you
go. We got it.
Food and drink. After 2 days of junk food, it's time to think healthy. make it a green night. Make everything green. A nice salad, veggie slices, ranch dressing. You know, just let's keep everything green on that day. Serve white wine spritzers.
Wear green.
Yeah, wear green.
Wear hemp.
Wear green hemp. This is great.
There you go.
You know, in music, it says any theme song that you would like.
Start
to
off with one of Willie.
Press your luck. Oh, yeah. It's awesome. And then, so at the end, this is how you are supposed to party.
Uh-oh.
Joints must be for Weeper Wednesday. Not just that, but each guest must have their own joint supplied by you, the party host, which they can share, but they can smoke it to themselves as they see fit. The goal on Weeper Wednesday is to get high as a kite. I think we might do that.
Maybe.
The more laughter, the more memorable the night. Sativas will help accomplish the giddiness. Hazes and widows, usually anything grown outdoors, can deliver the loopiness you're looking for.
Ow.
And this is your Weeper Wednesday party.
There
Woo-hoo.
You go. We like it. That's a great book.
You Thank
you,
my
down.
Friend. That's cool.
Yeah. Come down, make a copy of that. Check it out. It's a fun book. Fun activities. Keep your minds active. That's why we're here.
Yeah.
Keep our minds active. Talk about medical marijuana.
How to incorporate it in your life.
Yes. Well, and there's lots of ways to incorporate it if you're going to talk hemp. Because I learned the other day watching a video on YouTube that cellulose is the fiber that is used to make the paper. Okay. Well, trees only produce 30% cellulose. The other 70% of the tree product is chemically extracted and then just wasted away into the environment, into the earth. Yuck, yuck, bad.
Ooh, that doesn't
bad. And hemp is, I think, 65-75% cellulose. It's really, really up there. And it only takes 100 days to mature. I also read somewhere that they said that, because there was a question, what makes hemp? And it's basically industrialness. But ruderalis, which is one of the strains, was something I read was used for hemp production. But the other thing I heard was it's basically the difference between really taking care of your plants and just growing a whole lot of it, industrial-wise. So you grow just acres and acres and acres of this, and it doesn't really produce the buds because it's not there for that. So growers and cultivators for our medicine, on the other hand, take really, well, hopefully they take a lot of good time and care and energy and don't overcrowd their plants and give them lots of space and sunlight and good vitamins and things like that. To produce the medicine, so there's a little difference there.
It sounds much more easy to use. Much
oh,
more
it is.
Usable.
It's so much stronger as a fiber, as a plastic. Ford's first cars were made of indestructible hemp plastic, and I found something in here. Let's see. This is the Great Book of Hemp, actually. Lots of great books down at Tumbleweeds Health Center. You can check them out. And if you want to learn how to cook, if you want to learn some of the law, you want to learn how to grow, maybe you want to just learn some culture, or learn what ailments the state's accepting, come talk to somebody about it, but you can definitely check a book out. Great book of hemp, and I seem to have lost the page that I wanted to find.
I know, I can tell because you just rambling.
Yep, I am. That's okay.
There she goes.
That's all right. Rambling is good. When you're trying to find the page.
This Hemp
and
Health. This is reminiscent of my first time visiting you, Belle.
Ah, when was that?
When you were trying to find a page.
Oh, that's usually every day. I'm usually reading something, trying to find a page somewhere because it was really cool what I just read, you know. Anyway, so we'll find that page later. And there is always empathy. And there's always the great American hemp industry. And I think Jack Hare quotes, says something here. He says, the greenhouse effect is a direct result of burning fossil or old carbon fuels. There is only one plant that can completely substitute for fossil fuels. The plant is an annual that grows in all 50 states. It is the fastest growing sustainable biomass on the planet, biomass. It can produce paper, fiber, food, fuel. One of the most amazing things I found was an article titled Hemp Paper Reconsidered by Jack Fraser. Then I read Fraser's book, The Marijuana Farmers, and it just blew me away. Jack Hare is the author of The Emperor Wears No Clothes. And you should check that book out, too. I believe it's down there, too.
Yeah, he also, there's that, The Emperor, what's the movie he's on, a movie about his life?
Oh, we had it here. It was, we borrowed it actually from a patient. It's gone now, but it was
okay.
Really good.
It was a very good movie too.
We'll get
all
it back.
About him.
Yeah.
And his coming onto the cannabis scene. It's a very good one.
Here's a little bit in this from this book, The Great American Hemp Industry. It says, the story of the hemp plant's journey to America from its home in Asia is as mysterious and amazing as its adventures since it arrived. Plants, even more than children and domesticated animals, get carried around wherever adults decide to move next. Only with plants, the process of moving from country to country and continent to continent is much simpler.
Yeah.
The seed can be safely tucked away in a pocket or pack set. Through the agency of humans, with an assist from birds, horses, camels, ships, the hemp plant has traveled from one end of this globe to the other. The plant seems to have come to these shores by more than one route. It probably made its first appearance via the Bering Straits during the many migrations of various nomads from the continent of Asia. The first record of evidence of hemp usage in Asia comes from China, where it was used as both fiber and medicine as early as 2000 BC. The earliest known pharmacy book was written by Emperor Shen Nung, the father of husbandry. In it, he prescribed hemp for everything from rheumatism to absent-mindedness. He could find the page.
Yeah, he probably could find the page.
Maybe I need more. although the Chinese were probably the first to domesticate and use hemp extensively, the most noted euphoric users were the Hindus and Scythians. Religious and ceremonial use of cannabis is mentioned in the Atharvaveda, a religious text of India usually dated 1400 BC. Sorry if I messed that name up. And I'm going to mess this name up again, too. Bhanga, B-H-A-N-G-A, for those smarties out there. Marijuana is one of the five kingdoms of herbs worshipped ceremonially for freedom from distress. The Hindus used it as both a beverage and a smoking herb.
Ooh.
Excellent.
Smart people.
Yes, very smart people. That's awesome. Yeah, another book you can come check out. Hemp.
Yeah.
We'll do that one later, actually.
Yeah.
The empathy book. We'll do that at the end. We'll close with that one.
Yeah, empathy book, which kind of, when
lots
I was looking
hemp
at
stuff,
what
yeah.
we're going to read, it kind of is leading me into a topic of discussion that we were having with our patients just before we got on the air.
Holy cow.
We were discussing what the tobacco farmers would do if or when cannabis was legalized, or if they would even start taking
or
over
even now.
Crop. Yeah, even
or
now.
Even now. There's a great website a patient gave to us called thcbiz.com, and there's an article here. I can start to read this. Where's your smart anything? Where's your computer? It says, Spokane, Washington. Will the marble man light up a joint soon? Ooh, I like that. In the November elections, the states of Washington and Colorado legalized possession of small amounts of recreational marijuana. But it is unclear if any cigarette makers plan to supply the market. Bill Phelps, a spokesman for Philip Morris USA, maker of Marlboro, based in Virginia, Washington, was vague when asked from AP about the future intentions of the nation's largest tobacco company. We have a practice of not commenting or speculating on future businesses, he said, adding tobacco companies are in the business of manufacturing and marketing tobacco products. Brian Hatchell, a spokesman for the second largest cigarette maker, Reynolds American Inc., maker of Camel and Pall Mall, among many others, Reynolds American has no plans to produce or market marijuana products in either of those states, Hatchell said to AP. It's not part of our strategy.
Well,
Washington's new law decriminalizes possession of up to an ounce of pot for people over 21, but selling remains illegal. The initiative gave the state a year to come up with a system of state-licensed growers, processors, and retail stores, with the marijuana tax 25% at each stage. And in Colorado, a 24-member task force began work on marijuana regulations this week, and the Department of Revenue must adopt the cannabis regulations by July, with sales possible by year's end. Well, there you go. Well, and I don't know. I don't think they have enough to do with tobacco.
Yeah, I mean, they have a lot, but
they have enough going on.
They would stand to benefit. But
well, anybody would, but I still think that what Mr. Phelps said, that they're just doing tobacco. Tobacco.
And as, you know, one of our patients was saying,
hopefully it'll go away.
Yeah. And right now, there aren't very many people that will touch that subject because they can't, you know, take it into the stock market. They can't create a value for their company. Mm-hmm. So that's probably another reason why they're sticking with their product, quote unquote.
Right.
I love how they say that.
Well, there was another article also about what would happen if the states did go ahead and legalize, what the tax revenue would be. And a patient gave that to us earlier. We're going to look that up right now. But there was also, you can go to, here's another cool site, cannabisnews.org. And this talks about the next 7 states to legalize pot.
Ooh.
Yes, and this is USA. It says the Berlin Wall of pot prohibition seems to be crumbling before our eyes.
Thank you.
By fully legalizing marijuana through direct democracy, Colorado and Washington have fundamentally changed the national conversation about cannabis. All right. As many as 58% of Americans now believe marijuana should be legal. And our political establishment is catching on. Former President Jimmy Carter came out this month and endorsed taxed and regulated weed. I'm in favor of it, Carter said. I think it's okay. In a December 5th letter to Attorney General Eric Holder, Senate Judiciary Chairman Patrick Leahy, a Democrat from Vermont, suggested it might be possible to amend the Federal Controlled Substances Act to allow possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana, at least in jurisdictions where it is legal under state law.
That's
wild. Huh. There you go. That's put one foot in front of the other.
Exactly. I mean, and the strides are getting bigger and bigger.
Exactly. Even President Obama hinted at a more flexible approach to prohibition, telling 2020's Barbara Walters, you know it's true then.
Of course. If you're telling Barbara Walters, it's always true.
I'm going to launch in this Saturday Night Live skit. I can't. I won't do it. Don't.
Whoa.
Yeah, I wasn't even going to say it.
Blah, blah, blah.
I didn't know it first. Okay. But Barbara Walters said the federal government was unlikely, this is what Mr. President said, the federal government was unlikely to crack down on recreational users in states where pot is legal, adding, we've got bigger fish to fry. Hello.
I also read another article that Brad Pitt agreed with him.
Yes,
yep,
Brad
Mr.
Pitt is a known marijuana.
Ooh, he could probably say cannabis so really sexy.
Yeah,
marijuana.
Well, he probably smoked it. Well,
marijuana number 5. Cannabis number 5. That's going to be his next commercial. my goodness.
In the commercial, that'd be awesome.
It says, encouraged by the example of Colorado and Oregon, states across the country are debating the merits of treating marijuana less like crystal meth and more like Jim Beam. Here are the next 7 states most likely to legalize it. All right. Guess. Come on.
Okay,
oh.
I'm going to go with Alaska.
Arizona.
Number are we on there?
Number 1. Oregon.
Thank you. That's number 1.
Okay.
Number 2?
Number 2, California.
Yep. Number 3?
New Mexico.
Quit reading it.
I'm not. My phone's over there.
3?
Number 3.
Going one.
Alabama.
Short-term memory's not that good.
Maine.
Nevada.
Nevada.
Maine's
good.
Like, Maine number 4.
Number 4.
Alaska number 5.
Rhode Island's number 4. Maine is number 5, Alaska is 6, and Vermont is number 7. And this is great. If you check this out on cannabisnews.org, they go ahead and tell you a little bit about what each state has going on. Oregon could have produced a trifecta for pot legalization on Election Day. Like Washington and Colorado, the state had a marijuana legalization bid on the ballot, but it failed 54-46.
You know why that is? Get those younger people out there to vote.
The pro-cannabis cause was dodged by poor organization.
Mm-hmm.
Advocates barely qualified the initiative for the ballot and could not attract billionaire backers like George Soros and Peter Lewis, who helped bankroll the legalization in Washington. Well, yep, key to anything, most things in life is organization.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to happen if you don't have it going on. California is unaccustomed to being a follower on marijuana legalization. Oh, they got their feelings hurt. Its landmark medical marijuana initiative in 1996 sparked a revolution that has reached 18 states and the District of Columbia. Ow! And the artful ambiguity of that state has guaranteed easy access to the drug, even among Californians with minor aches and pains. This is true. Yeah. I'm from California. $49, you can get a card.
Can you get them for things like small menstrual cramps, anything?
Hey, those aren't small. Those are, like, deadly for some people.
Sure.
Hello?
It's not like they're doing that.
Hey, but I don't use near the ibuprofen that I did for those things.
Absolutely.
Holy cow.
I mean, little aches and pains now.
Tiny
a
bit.
A lot more manageable.
Cannabis rocks that.
Yeah. And wasn't it
nice
Queen? It was Queen Victoria who used
cannabis
for
menstrual
cramps.
Yes,
a lot. It's all over history.
It sure is. It's an old plant.
Yeah.
An old weed. Nevada says whether it's gambling or prostitution, Nevada is famous for regulating that which other states prohibit. When it comes to pot, that state has already taken one swing in 2006. It fell 56-44. They got closer than we did in Colorado that year, says Mason Vert, who co-chaired Colorado's initiative and whose first statewide effort garnered 41% of the vote. So, yeah, it goes on to tell a little bit about all of these states. It's a great little article, and we'll just bookmark this because we'll just see.
Yeah, let's see who's next.
And now I think Californians are going to rally.
Oh, they're going to want to be a
and
part
be
of
first.
That.
They're going to want to be first. Yeah.
They definitely want to be.
Those rebel hippies. Right on.
The weed wagon.
May I see the High Times magazine, please?
Absolutely.
Anybody subscribe? Anyone get these in the mail? It's hysterical how they come. I'm not even going to say it because you have to just.
You have to get it.
I'm not even going to say it. You got to get it yourself just to find out. It's kind of like The Thing. Has anyone seen The Thing in Arizona?
Yes.
You have?
Yes.
See, and no one, don't even say it.
I won't tell.
See, because no one will, even if you say that. Even if you're like, don't say it. They're like, okay, try and like psychoactively counteract that. No. Nope. No one will tell you what The Thing is, and you have to go see it.
Undescribable.
It's an undescribable thing.
I almost don't even remember what it was.
See?
Sure, smoke a little more, and then you really won't remember.
Oh, my goodness.
Speaking of which, we're a little empty here.
We are not. Oh. Okay, so speaking of It's an Outlaw Life, we do have a song to play that I'm going to talk a little bit about.
Oh, this is a good song.
Yeah, this is a friend of mine I knew back in the day, back in Cali, back in California. I worked in a music store, Bananas at Large. Ooh, ooh. Anyone in the Bay Area, go to Bananas at Large and tell them all. Well, tell them Bell Star sent you. They'll figure it out. Great group of people there. I love them. So here is a little story. I put out a call to all my musician friends in the Bay Area and said, hey, Bell Star needs a song for her radio show. And I was looking for more like a little intro ditty kind of thing we have at the beginning that we get from Apple. Thank you, Apple. but he sent a whole song, and he kind of explained a little bit, he meaning Cole Tate, kind of explained a little bit about the song, but I'm going to read something. This was actually in Treating Yourself, the Alternative Medicine Journal. This is a great magazine you can also subscribe to. We did, at Tumbleweeds they did, and we haven't received their first one yet, so we'll see how that comes. It's an Outlaw Life, musicians and the medical marijuana movement. Music producer and songwriter Jerry B. worked in many major San Francisco area recording studios during the 1980s. I was an engineer on many of these sessions, which featured bands, individual vocalists, and commercial spots. Jerry had enough success to open a bar and restaurant in Hawaii and leave the grueling late-night grind of such artistry and effort. A serious accident forced his return to the Bay Area 9 years later. While in three different Bay Area hospitals, Jerry B. became aware of caregivers braving delivery of herbs to both cancer and AIDS patients. Right on.
Good.
Nothing else made these desperately sick people desire to eat. From that experience, Jerry B. wrote, "It's been in Chinese medicine for centuries. Some people say it helps them to see. For others that are ill and just can't eat, a taste of Mary Jane is oh so sweet." Okay. People were boldly bringing cannabis into all three hospitals. Knowledgeable nurses turned a blind eye, compassionate doctors in the last days. AIDS wards were operating with a wink and a nod. When doctors were arrested for cannabis involvement, Jerry added to the poem with, "I'm not into politics, but now there's doctors doing time for helping out the sick." When Jerry recovered, he began reviving his musical career by booking artists. He also secured a poetry book deal for Hawaiian Life with Raindance Publishing. In the poetry compilation, the reader went for a hike to some blessed rare earth and a hidden cannabis garden in the jungles of Kauai. This poem brought Jerry to the attention of the compassionate use activist community. The compassionate use activists were looking for an anthem to spark the electorate. The state of California allows citizens to have ballot initiatives placed for vote during every election. Proposition 215 asked the voters to let marijuana be used for medical purposes. Jerry B. completed the poem, which highlighted the medical value of the herb as well as advocating jury nullification of anyone arrested for possession. And he says, but if I get busted, I hope you're on my jury. It's an outlaw life. From this genesis came the poem, a song, and the anthem, It's an Outlaw Life. The Cold Tape Band, who I knew, worked up a melody to the piece and began playing it to live appreciative audiences. The band had a recording contract with the small Bay Area label Globe Records, and the song was cut and retitled the Mary Jane Blues. Instantly, it received airplay across California and independent radio stations that supported the cause. Prop 215 passed. The song boosted the Cold Tape Band's profile and led to a European tour where the Mary Jane Blues was performed before 200,000 people at the Great Berlin Smokeout as the European pro-cannabis event was named. So, let's hear it. Mary Jane, what do you say? Should we play it?
Well, I am excited to be here for this. Let's
hear
it.
Yeah, this is good. Here we go.
Six-hour drive and I'm running late. I'm burning borrowed time, every second counts. I keep telling myself, boy, better slow down. But I'll be feeling so much better when I see those city lights. The sheriff pulls me over, he'll be reading me my rights. Outlaw life. It's an outlaw life, outlaw life. Baby, Chinese medicine for centuries. Some folks claim that it's helping them to see. Those are illness and they just can't eat. Oh, it takes a Mary Jane would feel so. But I am just a farmer, ain't into politics. But now my doctor's doing time for helping out the sick. Outlaw life. It's an outlaw life. It's an outlaw life. Well, I don't want no trouble. Busted. I hope that you're on my jewelry. Ha! Outlaw life. It's an outlaw life.
Outlaw life.
It's an outlaw life.
Outlaw life.
Outlaw
play that at the end too. Yeah, kind of head on out with that one, but
yeah.
That's great. So if any of y'all have any questions out there for us, let's see, please type it up, call it in. We've got some comments online. Oh, look at that. Cannabis Kid is here online.
He's online. Hey, Cannabis Kid.
Howdy, Kid. Oh, we miss you.
I hope I'm doing you good, you know?
No, you're doing great. one of the things that we love around here is good cannabis, right?
Well, I second that.
Yeah.
And the kids. And we also love when we get our High Times in the mail in its discreet packaging that you'll find out about when you order. And one of the articles in here I love because I myself cultivate and I'm always eager and willing to learn something new about the tricks of the trade and how to grow a cup champion. That's what this article is about. And it says there's a beautiful picture of a seedling.
Oh, that
about
is
a
beautiful.
week and a half old, I'd say. Just beautiful little seedling, just popping right out of the dirt, just mm-hmm. green as can be. It's got its little second set of leaves there, just loving life. It says, every future winner starts its life as a young warrior struggling to emerge from the soil.
I like that.
Yeah, it is. They are little young warriors. Every year, High Times sponsors 5 cannabis cup competitions, and this year, we decided to take a look at over 20 different cup winners. We're going to read a little bit about this from this article. So here's the first thing, and this is a question that I hear at Tumbleweeds a lot. Seed versus clone.
Well, what is the difference?
Well, we're going to read a little. I'm going to let you read, Lady Luck. Seed versus clone.
Okay, so seed versus clone. It's a timeless debate. Which starting technique results in better buds, seeds, and clones?
Uh-huh.
Which one?
Well.
Which do you like best, Val?
Well, I grow from seed.
So you like the seed.
I like
your seed.
You're
right.
From seed. Well.
Let's see if High Times says you're right.
That's what they say. I think everybody who grows is right.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I think.
Of course we know that there are pitfalls associated with each method. With seeds, you have the issue of longer propagate. What? I don't even know that word. I've never seen that in my life. Anyways. As well as problems with the sex of your plant. So,
okay.
You know, it's kind of hard from a
unless
seed.
Unless you go
you
feminize, and then there's the question of that as well.
Yeah. The latter won't be the issue if you choose to go with feminized seeds, like Belle says. But that can lead to a whole other world of problems.
Yes.
Since many feminized seeds are developed using unnatural chemical processes. Remember that, guys.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't been properly back-crossed a few times.
Hmm.
This can produce heavily hermaphroditic plants. So we need to watch out for that. Hermaphrodites are the ones that have seeds on them. So when you have seeds in your marijuana, we know that's not good.
Well, not unless you want them.
Yeah, not unless you want those seeds.
Some people are good.
So when it comes to clones, some growers complain that the plant's vigor is lost when compared to starting with seeds.
True.
So
probably because you shock the heck out of them,
yeah,
cutting
them
off from their mother.
Yes, and given that they're living organisms,
that's right. Sentient beings, they have a life.
Yeah. So they can
probably
not
feel very well.
This can be especially true if you're talking about F1 generation seeds.
Okay.
Okay, now, this can be a product of hybridization.
Okay.
Since hybrids are bigger, scientifically provenly beneficial to breeding with seeds.
Hmm.
So that's kind of good. Clones may also have difficulty, may also have difficulty producing initial roots and may not develop large enough root structures overall to sustain heavier yields. So if you have big buds,
yep.
Some of those root structures aren't going to be able to support that.
There you go.
So it's all kind of, you know, I mean,
I hear the hydro and the cloning guys got there going. What's the?
No. Well, this is High Times, not us now. But here's a positive aspect to using both seeds and clones. Excuse me. As with the human embryo, seeds possess natural hormones that allow the plant to root strongly enough to develop properly throughout its vegetative state. Good seeds are generally thought to result in better growing and better yielding plants compared to clones. With clones, however, growers have the advantage of uniformity and consistency. There is no need to fumble over sexing out the males if you choose a good mother plant. There is less worry about disease and pest problems. So which way should you go?
Mm-hmm.
Which way does everybody want to go? We don't know.
We don't.
As it turns out, from the 23 Cannabis Cup champions,
We have explained from this article there were 3 grown from seeds and 20 came from clones.
Ah.
So on this article, the clones have it.
Well, the clones have it.
But that's just
cloning.
Yeah.
There you go.
And you're going to see, you're going to get a result a lot faster than if you start with a seed.
Well, sure. They you cut, like, I don't know, 4 weeks off the time there.
Yeah.
That's a big chunk of time.
That's a lot of time.
Yeah.
The whole month.
Here's another good one. I can't believe how little time we have left. There's a question, actually, before I read this. We actually have a question out there in the blogging world. The question is, are there other ways to take cannabis so that you don't get sleepy or not able to function, but it will still take care of the pain?
Ah. That's a very good question.
That is a very good
question.
There
are a few ways.
My suggestion was, depending on the pain, depending maybe if it's more muscular, you can use lotions, salves, oils, sprays, even tinctures. They don't really, it's more, they're not so, depending on how you make the tincture, if you're not heating it, then you're not getting hyper safe, so you're able to function with the anti-inflammatory effects.
What about juicing?
Juicing is the best way.
That's what I was thinking.
Or just eat it. Stick it in a salad. Stick it in your smoothie. I think the kid smoothies cannabis every morning.
Yeah.
And he looks wonderful, feels wonderful, and has a lot
of
energy.
Yeah.
And it's not sleepy. He's able to function. That kind of thing. And
so
find a strain that works for you, though, and the way to use it that works for you. Some people like edibles. I find for myself edibles are heavy, so it's a nighttime treat for me. Some people like candies, salves, oils, lotions are really good for topicals, shoulder aches, bruising, things like that.
I found tinctures work really well
for
morning cereal, yogurt, just a couple of drops in there and you're feeling nice and no pain and everything. And that's the beauty of medical cannabis and the program that we have here in Arizona is that you don't have to get stoned in order to get the
pain
effects. The pain relief.
Which is a lot of what people look for.
I love that. I love that about this plant. And that's one of the best things about the program.
There's a great movie if you go to tumbleweedshealthcenter.com, click on the video link, and it's the first video. It's called Leaf. And they explain a little, it's all about juicing, so gives you some ideas and talks about the culture and things like that, but it tells you how to juice and the benefits. Dr. Courtney says your body can assimilate 60 times the amount of medicine if you juice it versus smoking it.
Oh.
So that's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot of medicine you get in your system, and that's
great.
Great
question, blogger.
Yeah,
thank you.
We will reveal no names. But that is a great question. And let's see. I'm just reading here. There was the next question about how much. Well, some people say 10 to 15 leaves, fresh leaves. Some people use the fan leaves. Some people use the buds themselves. I don't think it takes very much to start feeling the effects. And the video Leaf explains a little bit more. And look up Dr. Courtney. He might just have a recipe online. I'm waiting back from an email from him myself with that very question. We want a recipe down here. That would be a good thing.
Yeah.
A very good thing. Let's look at our list here. We could still talk about the cannabis cup champions here. The next, here you go. Here's another great debate here. Indoor, outdoor, or greenhouse? All right, we've got some growers in the audience. What do we say? Indoor, outdoor, greenhouse.
Underground.
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 We were just talking about that.
And
not building a huge underground town. That's a great idea.
Wait, isn't there an underground town in Texas?
But wouldn't that be indoor underground? Or could you have a greenhouse underground? It'd be indoor.
Yeah.
See, there, he just gave it away.
Sliding roof.
Be oh, my God. There we go. Sliding mountain. Here we go. Just the hill. Mommy,
why the
hill?
We have to get thrown off kilter somehow,
It moves every day at 7 a.m.
Convert Chase Field.
Ooh, you could have some, AstroTurf that was actually see-through. Hey, don't go stealing these ideas out there. They're already building. I hear the hammers. No!
She's got it patented already. Don't worry.
So people also ask which is better, indoor or outdoor cannabis. The question has many different facets and can be answered on a variety of levels. But in terms of growing the highest quality cannabis, which means giving preference to a strain's natural phenotypes, learning this, rather than forcing heavier growth to achieve higher yields, a consideration that certainly plays a predominant role in cannabis cup competitions, where the entries are scored on factors such as flavor, potency, rather than on weight harvested. Some of those little auto flowers just could win then. We can now answer this question a bit more definitively. Let's start by examining a few important pros and cons associated with each type of garden. Outdoors, of course, growers can take advantage of both the full spectrum and unmatched power of the sun. Yes,
the
I love
sun.
It. It's here in Arizona.
Why is the sun so important for these plants? Can you tell me that?
Because
I know Belle is a huge fan of the sun.
I hope we all are here in Arizona. It's because of what it just said, it has the full spectrum and unmatched power of the sun. You can light up a room with 100,000 watts if you want. It's still not going to have what the sun does. And I honestly think the moon's light, just like it plays its part in the waves and in the sea, I think it plays its part in growth of every plant. There are nightshades out there that grow better under the light of the moon than they do during the day. Okay. So, anyway, but it says, let's see here. However, outdoor growers must also contend with Mother Nature's downside, including storms, disease, and pests. Yeah, that's rough when you go outside and you see your plants knocked over if you haven't built an appropriate area for them.
They're
not okay.
Stressed.
They're sad.
Yeah, they're very sad.
That's not good. We don't like sad plants.
I mean, to most outside growers, though, that's just one of the cons of growing outdoors, but it's a sacrifice they're willing to take to get the natural potency of the plant.
This is true. They will...
I mean,
take that sacrifice. They will do it.
Not
that's right. This can make garden maintenance a labor-intensive effort throughout the hot summer months. But, you know, people that grow cannabis usually love to grow. I mean, a lot of people do. That's why they get started.
They love being outdoors, either
outdoors or just with plants.
Right.
So it's not really labor of love, really. Tech guy. At a minimum, the best outdoor growers plan on spending an hour per plant per day. So, if you've got a garden of 12, do the math, kids.
12 hours.
That's a full-time job.
That's more than a full-time job. So, doing the necessary pruning and trellis work that it takes to grow 12 to 14 trees. Okay, so now we're not even talking plants anymore. We're going trees. Forget it. Just trees.
Do you remember that picture we saw in that magazine?
Yep.
Of that marijuana tree?
Yeah, I think it was High Times magazine. It wasn't a plant. It wasn't a weed. It was a tree. And it was, I don't even know the word for it.
The kind of trees I need in my backyard.
Dad, money grows on trees. It sure does. Okay, let's see. Greenhouses, from an agriculture and plant science perspective, offer the best of both worlds when it comes to cultivation in theory. In practice, however, the best results are not always achieved. This is because while growers do get the added benefit of the sun within an enclosed environment, the unpredictable nature of the weather, including the temperatures that sun can create, is much more difficult to control than in a standardized indoor grow room. I know somebody that when it gets too hot or too cold will take their plants in and out of the grow room, inside, outside, and grows amazing cannabis, but that's a lot of work.
Yeah.
But it's amazing, amazing. Find it here at Tumbleweeds, actually. And let's see what they say about the indoors. Here we go. I skipped. Indoor growers can take back control of nearly every aspect of the garden.
Control is
light,
ideal. Yeah.
Air, bugs, nutrients, environment, they get it all. Many people tend to think that this adds up to a lot more work, especially during the initial construction of the grow room. Maybe. Use your closets, not bad. But in fact, both indoor and outdoor gardens and greenhouses, for that matter, require serious labor in their initial setup. However, it's true that indoor grow rooms on average likely will require more time out of the day for growers, as they not only have to maintain the plants but also the grow system, which can have many moving parts that need daily checking and often maintenance. And there's all sorts of nifty little gadgets you can use to check your systems from afar. I'm going to say something else, but get your eye. It's an eye app. You can actually control lighting, air, water, turn them on, turn them off. And if they, some systems, if they'll shut down, they have an alarm system. So wherever you are, you can go home and fix your system, because it's not good to stress your plants out like that. Isn't that pretty?
That is beautiful.
Purple frost.
That is showing me a beautiful picture.
Centerfold. Well, it's not the centerfold, but I think it should have been. This was a Chemtex, but I don't know. I like purple frost better. And there's ChemDog.
Ooh.
So, speaking of cannabis, some strains, if you go to tumbleweedshealthcenter.com, they've got some medicine listed. Ice, Sour Jack, Blue Dream, Hawaiian Snow, Blackberry Kush, Mr. Swazi, which is a combination of some beautiful sativas, and blueberries coming soon. And this week's class, again, is basic law, how to be safe.
What kind of talk is happening on Friday?
And Friday, I believe, is the it's HIV AIDS and cannabis. There's a great book down here on that at Tumbleweeds. You all can come and check out. Let's see. I think it's time for some empathy. Food for thought. This is a great book. We still, every week, we keep threatening to contact the authors, and we will. If anyone wants to, shoot us an email.
Just like she's going to find the page number one of these days.
Oh, I will. Maybe while you're reading that. No, I'll pay attention.
So here's the why in empathy.
Well, read a little bit about the book. Turn it over and tell people what this awesome book is, and you can get it at
why-whatisforbidden-whynot.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
So, this is Hempathy Food for Thought. It's an attempt to show at a glance the illogical distinction between what is socially logical and legally accepted, and why, what is forbidden, and why not. Scientists and doctors are making wonderful discoveries about how cannabis excerpts and beneficial effects. We need to publicize the findings in an unbiased way and widest possible audience. We need to stop the obstruction of research and decriminalization of this useful plant. Like cannabis, this information is meant to be shared.
Oh, yeah.
So, here's the why.
And that's just the back of the book.
And, we're right in the middle. So here's the why. And I see that Belle has this tagged so she can find the page. So
yeah, that's smart. That. Organization.
She was organized on that.
Yeah.
So this is a great picture.
Thanks, Lady.
This is a cigarette machine. You guys remember those cigarette machines they had in bars? You stick a couple quarters in, get a pack of cigarettes.
Oh, my God.
So there's a bunch of people standing around. They have their hair over their eyes. They look like some grimy folk.
Ooh.
And they are just puffing away.
Stand next to that machine.
Yep, and right next to the cigarette machine is warning that cigarettes cause cancer with all these gruesome pictures.
Doesn't cannabis
and they're
help
just ignoring it.
Cure so, and heal and help cancer?
Here's the why. Tobacco. Smoking-related diseases kill 1 in 10 adults globally or cause 1 million deaths. If the same rate continues by 2030, smoking will kill 1 in 6 people. Cigarette smoke contains 11 chemical compounds that are known to cause cancer. Tobacco is an addictive substance. Smokers who use other drugs such as heroin, methadone, amphetamine, and barbiturates rate tobacco as their most addictive drug. In the United States, smoking is responsible for $196 billion a year in health-related costs. Wow. Including the cost of productivity. In Canada, the cost is approximately 17 billion Canadian a year. In 2008, there were approximately 46 million smokers in the United States and 5 million in Canada.
Whoa.
That's a lot of people smoking that nastiness.
See, and that's why those companies don't need to go after cannabis. They've got enough going on.
Yeah,
the
there you go. That's a lot of smokers to take care of.
I'm not happy. Cigarettes did not do my family well.
And they are addicted.
They are.
More than heroin, it says.
Yeah. Did my my mom couldn't shake a poor thing. Yeah, it was awful, awful thing. All right. Oh, the next page. This is Oktoberfest, and this is a bunch of drunks puking. Oh, this is just a gross page. Normally, the next site is something nice. I don't like this one. They're at an outdoor bar. This guy's peeing. Other guys, there's a fight going on. There's a bunch of bottles, you know, bad things. It says, why alcohol? Yeah. In the 2002 World Health Report, the World Health Organization estimated globally 1.8 million deaths every year are attributed to alcohol consumption.
Wow.
Alcohol abuse is associated with accidents, fights, driving offenses, and unprotected sex. Alcohol abusers are at an increased risk of being the victim or perpetrator of sexual violence and a doubled risk of HIV infection. Alcohol misuse costs the National Health Service in the UK 3 billion lira per year, and the cost to employers is 6.4 billion per year. These figures do not include the crime and social problems associated with alcohol misuse. The number of women regularly drinking alcohol has almost caught up with men. I wonder why that is. Social acceptance?
Yes.
Lame. Well, that's just sad because we know that cannabis, on the other end of that spectrum, does a lot to heal things. You know, heals cancer, can cure some. It's not a fix-all, cure-all, but it does help a lot of people with a lot of things, including getting off medicines and decreasing amounts of medicines that they're, needing to take. Well, that's empathy, food for thought.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot to think about. So let's do something fun.
Intense, though.
That is. We're going to do something fun. We're going to have a trivia question. One joint. No one answered last week's question. Don't even know where it is. Midnight Express, I think, was the answer. Am I right? Yes, tech guy says yes. Thank God for tech guy. Sounds like Ellen. Only it's not.
He is a great tech guy.
Better than that. Ooh, law.
Ooh, fun.
Which is appropriate for this weekend. Here you go.
Okay.
Read it. Don't read the answer. This
okay.
is for. Okay, guys. Pay attention now. This is for a joint. Medication. Free medication to an Arizona registered cardholder.
Okay.
Come to Tumbleweeds during meducation hours.
So this is our trivia question on law. In 2003, how much money did the federal government spend on the war on drugs?
In 2003?
Mm-hmm.
Trillions. I'm going to even just guess. We won't go there. So during meducation hours at Tumbleweeds, Thursday, Friday, 5 to 9 p.m., Saturdays, noon to 4, you can answer that question. Read it again, and you can win a joint. A free roll.
In 2003... how much money did the federal government spend on the war on drugs?
Oh, my God.
The 2003 war on drugs. How much money did they spend?
Probably a lot. Let me see that. I want to just gasp on
that.
It is a
lot.
It is a lot.
Alarming.
That's pretty alarming. That's a, oh, my gosh. Okay. So let's forget about that for a minute, and let's do some shout-outs here because we have some great, great, great people in our cannabis community. And we should be supporting them fully, 100%, wholeheartedly. The Grower's House, if you want to grow these cannabis cup winter strains, and if you live in Tucson, or if you don't, check them out, 227 East Valencia, right around the back there. It's a little bit hidden, but it's so worth the extra 2 feet you have to drive around the back to get to them. Paul and Nate, father-son team, they are awesome. GrowersHouse.com, if you're out there in the world and you're not here in Tucson, check them out. Wholesale Price Hydroponics. They offer free classes, one-on-one help with grow rooms, and a price match guarantee. And not to mention, Growers House staff are experienced growers, and they can help you get started in succeeding in all your growing endeavors. Also, when you're done growing and drying and curing, take your meds to AZ Med Testing. They offer medical marijuana testing in Arizona to ensure medicine is safe and effective in treating patients. Through scientific methodology, they extract cannabinoid percentages from the medicine and provide analytical reporting for each cannabinoid characteristic. You send your meds there, you take your meds there, you get a great little graph with a picture of what's going on and how happy your meds are.
All fun.
It's great.
That's fun.
Yep. In fact, we've got a percentage of 20.1 THC percent up there. Hawaiian snow. Yeah, that's everyone's favorite.
You don't get that most times of the year. That's a good one.
No. Also, that's a sacred plant there.
Yeah.
Mary Jane Survival Guide. If you...
Great read.
Yes, awesome. Come down to Tumbleweeds Health Center and get this free guide. It's a medical marijuana patient guide for anyone seeking medical marijuana information in the state of Arizona or anywhere. Recipes, pictures, articles, clinics, clubs, and more. MJSurvival.com. If you're not going to come and get down and get a free booklet, you can check them out online. You know what? We are going to end with the Mary Jane song again, but we would like to thank our participating audience for being so awesome
and
for joining us tonight.
Thanks for coming tonight.
Tech guy. Woo-hoo. I think he only missed one show because he was sick. He even had a doctor's note. Okay, his mom signed it, but that's all right. Moms are, you know, yeah,
hey.
Their degrees are like, I think they're better than doctors. Anyway,
yeah, exactly.
Well, Blog Talk Radio is awesome. You guys should check them out if you have your own radio show or if you want to listen to ours. Thank you for always being dependable. Grower's House, AZ Med Testing, Mary Jane Survival Guide. Tumbleweeds Health Center right now has $95 certification special through January, through the new year a little bit. Come get certified so you can check things out. Next
join
week
the
we'll probably discuss some dispensary news that we have. Keep you waiting there. And we are going to, let me see if I can do this right here. We're going to head out with the Mary Jane.
From the Emerald Triangle to the Golden Gate. It's a 6-hour drive and I'm running late. Every second counts. I keep telling myself, boy, better slow down. But I'll be feeling so much better when I see those city lights. The sheriff pulls me over, he'll be reading me my rights. Outlaw life. It's an outlaw life. Outlaw life. Some folks claim that it's helping them to see. Those are ill and they just can't be. Oh, it takes a Mary Jane would feel so cool. But I am just a farmer, ain't into politics. But now my doctor's doing time for helping out the sick. It's an outlaw life. It's an outlaw life. Well, I don't want no trouble. I can't take the worry. But if I can bust.